Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas. It's Discover the Finger Lakes at SaverLife.com. And some big wine scores came out for Finger Lakes wineries. Also, the Governor's Cup was announced just a couple of days ago. And the major category winners for that all New York State wine competition. And you can go to newyorkwines.org. You can find them on Facebook and see the Zoom award ceremony. They did a really nice job of it. It's the kind of ceremony that most people don't get a chance to see because it's not usually recorded like this. And I hope they'll do this in the future and provide it online as well as do it in person, of course. And this year, Long Island wineries really cleaned up, especially Pindar and Pominock Vineyards. They did an amazing job. Pindar Vineyards won best wine in New York State. They was awarded the Governor's Cup for Gewurztraminer, and Pominock won Winery of the Year. They won Best Sparkling Wine and Best Red in the competition. Finger Lakes wineries won a whole bunch of categories. So the way this competition works, I guess there are about over 600 wines entered this year, which is down a little bit from the past. They've had up to around 900 wines in the competition, but with the pandemic, of course, lots of things change, and this was a smaller number of wines entered. Still a lot of wines from many wineries, and they were judged this year by the Beverage Tasting Institute, which I think is in Chicago, BTI, which is also different. They've had the judges here tasting, and because of the pandemic, decided that was going to be too difficult. So a good idea to engage the Beverage Tasting Institute to do this evaluation, and I think they probably did an excellent job. The category winners from the Finger Lakes were the best Pinot Gris from Hazlitt, best dry Riesling from Anthony Road, best medium sweet Riesling from Wagner, best sweet Riesling from Penguin Bay, best Cabernet Franc, Lamoureux Landing, best vinifera non-vinifera blend from Atwater, best Petzlant Naturel, otherwise known as Pet Nat, from Fossen View Winery, which is owned by Idle Ridge and next to it. Best Forced Carbonation Sparkling Stony Lonesome, part of Three Brothers, and Best Rosé, Ryan William, and Best Dessert Wine, Boundary Breaks. So they're ice wine. Again, those were the Seneca Lake winners. Also, Dr. Frank won, I think, two categories. There was one other category from Cayuga Lake Winery won, Goose Watch, I think. So the Finger Lakes won many of the categories, but not the big prizes, not very many of them for this year's New York Wine Classic. It's the premier competition in New York State for the wineries, frankly was hoping this year that it would be a Seneca Lake winery in particular that won the Governor's Cup because of the battle over this Bitcoin mining on Seneca Lake. It would have been helpful to have that extra publicity for the lake. As it was, Seneca Lake wineries won 10 of the 25 categories, over half the Finger Lakes wineries are on Seneca Lake. And a whole bunch of them get their grapes from Seneca Lake, even if the winery is not on Seneca Lake, or at least some of their grapes. Hazlett, part of the Hazlett family, has Sawmill Creek Vineyards, and they have 80 acres of vineyards and provide grapes for many wineries around the region. But this Bitcoin mining is... That fight is really just beginning right now, and it's the scale of which they want to do this. Basically, dedicate a power plant. I mean, 104 megawatt power plant to Bitcoin mining, and go from basically 6% operation to 100%. Without the environmental reviews that should be done when that kind of change happens. So was looking at it this week, and there's a number of meetings coming up, online meetings with the staff from Albany, Cuomo staff, and also reaching out to elected politicians around New York State. But the volume of water that's planned that they have the permits to use, but they're not using at this point, but will if they go to full output, is something like 139 million gallons a day. And the problem with these projects is the scale at which they're done or proposed, like the trash incinerator, which would have been one of the largest trash incinerators in the United States. This Bitcoin mining operation, again, power plants in Dresden, west side of Seneca Lake, midway down the lake. The level of pollution is hard to imagine because it just goes up in the air. The amount of noise is hard to imagine because they haven't ramped up to their full production yet. They want to quadruple what they're doing now, and noise is already a problem there. But water is something maybe easier to visualize. I think I mentioned last week, maybe a couple weeks ago, that the amount of water they were going to use every day, 365 days a year, is 139 million gallons a day, which, I don't know, sounds like a lot of water, but how much water is it? And they're using it to cool their machines and their power plant and their 30,000 computers they want to run, and cooling is a massive problem for those operations. And so they're going to take in that water from Seneca Lake, and it'll be warmed to, they're permitted to warm it up to 108 degrees, comes in at, I don't know, 40 or 50 degrees perhaps, and then release it into a trout stream to go back into Seneca Lake. And the amount of water they want to do this to over the course of a year is the equivalent of Canisius Lake. But Canisius Lake is hard to get your head around how much water is there because you can't see how deep it is. It sort of looks like a decent-sized lake, but the water that they want to use for this Bitcoin mining is the equivalent of 10% of Canandaigua Lake. All of Canisius Lake, about 10% of Canandaigua Lake. Again, it sounds like a lot, but then you think about it in terms of tanker trucks. So I did the math on this a couple days ago. And, tanker trucks that carry water, they usually carry about 5,000 gallons at a time. So the amount of water they want to use every day and heat up at this Bitcoin mining is the equivalent of something like almost 28,000 tanker trucks a day, which is 139 million gallons of water. So try to imagine 27,000 or 28,000 tanker trucks. If you line them up end to end, if you could find that many tanker trucks, you lined them up end to end, it would stretch for 102 miles. That's like to Rochester and back from Dresden, almost back to Dresden. again, 102 miles of tanker trucks. That's the amount of water that they are going to be heating every day at this Bitcoin mining plant. It makes no sense for the region to do this. It only makes money for this company, which, again, is taking advantage of Seneca Lake and heating a substantial amount of water and returning it to the lake, which already has problems with harmful algal blooms. And this is a terrible idea. So if you want to get involved in trying to keep this expansion from happening, you can look up Seneca Lake Guardian. Yvonne and Joseph have done an amazing job fighting gas storage and trash incinerators. And this is the next environmental battle on Seneca Lake. So the astounding amount of energy required to mine Bitcoins, that energy could be gotten from renewable resources. It is in some cases. In this case, it's an old, inefficient, fracked gas burning power plant. It's going to pollute our region with air pollution, noise pollution, and water pollution, heated water that just has no business in the future of our region. They're going to do this 24/7 for the next couple of decades on Seneca Lake if Bitcoin mining lasts that long. It's an insane idea. So again, look up Seneca Lake Guardian online, get some details, consider donating, consider volunteering, helping. There are many ways in which you could potentially help. Writing letters to the editors in our local newspapers. Michael Fitzgerald has a column on it right now in Finger Lakes Times. He just put that out. Yvonne Taylor wrote a really nice and very effective op-ed column for Finger Lakes Times. So this is a big issue for the Finger Lakes. Like a number of these, they are massive industrial operations that go against the future of our region. We are not an industrial region. We have a brilliant future as a tourism destination. And we have 65 million people within a day's drive. They're not going to come to see Bitcoin mining or hear the noise of this plant. This is, again, time after time, we keep running into these things. A designation as National Heritage Area would help in these battles. And you can send a letter to the National Park Service before June to put in your recommendation for the Finger Lakes and why you think it should be a National Heritage Area in the United States. So again, they are taking applications. Kirsten Gillibrand, our U.S. Senator, has been very helpful in getting this process started. And now it's up to the people who live here to make the case for it being a National Heritage Area. We have a great case to make for that. We really do. And what helps is to have multiple perspectives from people who live here, who love the Finger Lakes. And so send your argument for Finger Lakes being a National Heritage Area to the National Park Service before June. And if you want any links or more information to do that, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Yesterday had a beautiful drive through the Finger Lakes. I mentioned on the previous hour in the food show, visited a couple bakeries, went to a couple wineries, and just loved seeing Seneca Lake with very calm winds. It wasn't glass-like, but it was very smooth, and I kind of regretted I didn't have more time to stop and take some photos. Drove by the Solar Village, Lake Tunnel Solar Village, which has grown a lot in Geneva, right along 5 and 20, with a tunnel under 5 and 20 to the lakeshore. And it was just a lovely day, and we've got more of those coming. Yesterday was a little chilly. It was, you know, high of around 34 or something. But today's going to be around 54, and the next few days, really beautiful days to go exploring around our region. So if you want some tips and ideas, suggestions, maybe you've got one or two places you want to go and you're thinking about some other ones, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Saw a note, Fox Run will be opening their restaurant. They've been open for tastings all winter. They're open year-round for tastings, but they'll be opening their restaurant April 1st. Brett Holland, their executive chef, is now doing some writing for Edible Finger Lakes, so look for him in the new issue. Comfort is the feature in the new Edible Finger Lakes. As I mentioned in the last hour, you should get a subscription, $36, and you get, I'm not sure how many issues it is, but I don't really care. I love the publication, and there's like four or five or six issues that you get. Nice feature on Silver Thread Winery. It is a fantastic winery. One of the smaller wineries. They do most of their distribution in New York City, I think, so maybe we don't hear about them as much, but Silver Thread is a winery that's features Riesling, and Paul and Shannon Brock, they have had a big impact on our region. Paul is one of the key people in the Enology program at FLCC, and Shannon was one of the managers of the New York Wine and Culinary Center early on, and when that, maybe not when it first opened, but in some of the early years there, and has been doing a lot of wine education in the region, as well as the wines they make at Silver Thread, which is on the east side of Seneca Lake, a small winery. It is off the main road. So I would check hours and things if you want to go. And it's close to Wagner, but again, not on the main road. And it's a kind of a cool building. It's been there a long time. They purchased it from the founders of Silver Thread, and have really been making consistently extraordinary wines. They got some great scores in Wine Enthusiast just recently, 90 plus point scores in Wine Enthusiast for several of their wines, 91 points for their Riesling and 91 for their dry Riesling, their estate vineyard Riesling. Those are, you know, in the $18-$20 range. Anthony Rode got a couple 90-point scores for semi-dry and dry Rieslings. Those are $17 and $18. Red Newt got 92 points for two of their wines, one for sort of a late harvest, but dry. It's a noble dry Riesling in a smaller bottle. Sounds kind of interesting. As well as their Tango Oak Vineyard Riesling. Cuca Spring, they got a couple of 91-point scores. Living Roots, their off-dry Riesling, got 91 points in Wine Enthusiast. Dr. Constantine Frank got 90 for semi-dry Riesling. Buttonwood Grove got two 90-point scores for Riesling. So a bunch of high scores in Wine Enthusiast. We'll talk about them more tomorrow on the wine show, and some fantastic wines available in the Finger Lakes. One of the interesting things about the Tango Oak Vineyard Riesling that Red Newt submitted to Wine Enthusiast, it was 2015 vintage, an older Riesling than most of these others are 2019, virtually all of them. And glad to see a winery submitting an older vintage just to see how well these age. And they do age beautifully. So again, more details tomorrow on the wine show. We'll be back at 9 a.m. with the Grapevine tomorrow. If you do some exploring around the region, let me know where you go and what you discover. Take a few photos. Send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. And have a great first day of spring. Enjoy this beautiful weather. Michael Warren Thomas at saverlife.com.